22-year-old Crystal has been a welfare recipient off and on since 1993. She says the fathers of her two sons are in no position to help her.
One of them is currently in prison, and the other one can't even support himself. So there's no way that either of those two are able to provide at this point.
Crystal's mother was on welfare for a time. She has a job now, but Crystal says her mother doesn't earn much money and can only give Crystal a little help with the rent.
I pay my own rent, and my mom actually helps pay some of my rent so I can live in a better neighborhood.
Like most welfare recipients, Crystal gets a cash grant and food stamps. The total is $732 a month. Unlike most welfare recipients, she's getting an education. Crystal's a full-time student at Minneapolis Community and Technical College. She works part-time, and she's vice president of the student body. She's an exception to the rule. She's allowed to attend school because she was already enrolled in a 2-year program when welfare reform went into effect. The 10-month-old welfare reform program in Minnesota requires nearly all 45,000 adult recipients to find work. Only 8% are in training or education programs. In the old system, recipients were allowed more flexibility to choose between job or education. But in the old system, many recipients chose to do nothing, refusing to get a job or an education. State officials say some chose training that did not lead to employment. Minnesota Department of Human Services spokesman Chuck Johnson says nowadays, a job counselor decides at the first meeting if an applicant needs more training to find work.
The counselor is really looking very basically, here's the labor market, here's the participant skills, can I get this person employed given the current situation?
The job counselor can only approve training or education programs within certain strict guidelines. Jason Walsh is director of St. Paul-based Affirmative Options, a coalition formed by churches, labor unions, and others to monitor the effects of welfare reform. Walsh says the guidelines are narrow, but fair.
It has to lead directly to a job. That job has to pay you enough to get you off of the program. There's got to be a job like that in the area where you live. So those criteria are strict, but they're doable for folks.
What's unfair, Walsh says, is not enough people are allowed to pursue training or education programs. Crystal and the others who do get the same benefits as those placed in jobs. There's money for transportation. Crystal says owning a car is too expensive. She relies on the bus. Every week she gets a free bus card, but there's a problem. It's only for regular, not express bus service.
Sometimes if it's raining outside or if it's really cold, I need to take an express. So that means taking more money out of my pocket. It means that it takes me about an hour and a half each way to get to and from school with two kids, and that gets kind of frustrating as well.
Minnesota's welfare program pays a large part of a recipient's daycare costs. Crystal puts her 5-year-old and 2-year-old sons in a full-time daycare in order to attend classes, but her 2-year training to be a human services specialist, a step to becoming a social worker, requires an internship. The internship is at night. Welfare does not cover extra daycare costs.
I have to pay my own child care when I intern there at night, because the self-sufficiency agencies will only pay for so many hours per week.
Welfare recipients allowed to enroll in training or education programs get up to 12 months to finish the course, with an extension to 24 months under some conditions. Welfare does not pay tuition. The students must find a scholarship, a loan, or a grant, or pay for the education out of their own pockets. Minnesota could allow many more people, up to 20% of the state's recipients, to enroll in training programs. The federal government granted the state a waiver for that purpose. But state officials are reluctant. Department of Human Services spokesman Chuck Johnson says there's a penalty if Minnesota doesn't meet its quota of recipients who are working.
What we have to do is make sure that we have enough people involved in federally defined work activities each month and on average for each year in order to avoid missing the federal participation standards and having our block grant reduced.
Senator Paul Wellstone proposed changing federal law to allow welfare recipients up to 24 months' time for training or education programs, but a Senate conference committee stripped the language from a higher education bill, and it's dead for this session. Welfare critic Jason Walsh says the welfare law's priority of putting people to work first is short-sighted and shortchanges many recipients.
People who are often low-skilled with little education, often women, often immigrants, often single parents. We have a great need for workers, but we need to train those workers and we need to support them. And the MFIT program at present and the other systems that are out there, such as childcare, such as housing, are not doing a good enough job.
Crystal finishes her 2-year degree in a few months. She's confident she'll find a job, earn enough to support her sons, and, in fact, go back to school on her own to earn a 4-year degree. She says the state's welfare program isn't working for a lot of recipients who are not allowed to get training for higher-paying jobs.
I don't think it'll work. I think a lot of people will end up working at McDonald's or Burger King or just somewhere where they're getting close to minimum wage, and they'll quit because they'll be frustrated, they won't be happy, and they'll go back on welfare.
But by then, many will have used up a year or more of the lifetime maximum of 5 years state law allows people to be on welfare. State officials say when the 5 years are up, as many as 20% of the welfare recipients might be eligible for more time, but only in special cases where there are large families or language problems. Dan Olson, Minnesota Public Radio.